As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Welcome back to The Junks. It's time for us to head out now to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer. He's joined us many times before. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We are doing well. So I am perusing your latest mock draft on CBSSports.com. I believe your final edition will come out the morning of the draft in a couple days.
How many have you done? You've done 150.
So many.
Yeah, they've scaled it back a little bit, but it's enough to where it feels like you're doing a little too much.
So this iteration, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm running on 3.5 hours sleep. So I think what this draft is this is what you think each team should do, not necessarily what they will do. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's it.
So give us your pick for the Commanders, round 1, pick 29. When we were talking about this earlier in the show, Ryan, I said the least sexy thing that they could do is what you are propositioning they should do with the 29th pick.
I might puke if they do
this. Why don't you expand on that?
All right, get the bucket ready, because I went with Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. And the concern is Sam Cosmi. Obviously, he got hurt in the last game of the season, I believe, the playoff game, and he's integral to what they do along the offensive line and so on and so forth. I get it. But while as unsexy as it is, it's incredibly important to making everything else work. And the great thing about, I don't know if this makes you feel better or not, Gray Zabel, he's going to be a team captain on day one. He's a really good football player. He played outside, played tackle at North Dakota State, and then he'll play center guard at the next level. And it's not the biggest need, but it feels like the most immediate need until you get Cosmi where he needs to go. And, you know, so he tears it in January, so he's probably not ready to go till October, best-case scenario. And then you have the transition will be smooth. Now, a couple other things, edge rush makes sense here, of course. Mm-hmm. We did this is how much they hate me at work. We did a live 7-round mock draft on YouTube a couple days ago.
Yeah, wow. They do hate you.
Wow.
Yeah. And somehow we had 4 guys picking in the first round, and somehow through those, as we got to the end of the draft, Tyler Warren was still there. Now they took Ben Sinnott last year, and you say, well, do you need another? Well, the Raiders did that with Mayer and Brock Bowers, and I think if that happens, it's sort of BPA, best player available, someone like Tyler Warren would also be something that you didn't see coming, and you're like, okay, sign me up for that.
He's a stud. Tyler Warren is a complete stud. I would be shocked if he was around, in the mid to high 20s.
Absolutely, and it's just one of those things where it sort of shook out that way, but I think you're right.
Right.
Now, I do see that your colleagues, one had Ibuka, which I think this fan base would be super thrilled with. And then another one of your colleagues had at 29 had the guy that from Boston College that I like. I keep pronouncing his name.
Ezeraku.
Yep. That guy, super intriguing. I don't know how you go from 2 sacks to 16 and a half, but I think he did that.
But I want some of that. Yeah,
I want some of that 16 and a half.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny if I'm just reading between the lines here. My mock draft comes in last among the three we're talking about here.
Yeah,
and I understand that for sure.
Least
here's the
sexy.
Thing about Egbuka. Fair enough. Egbuka is you are going to love him as a person. You are going to love him as a player. He's not going to set the world on fire like a Tevin McMillan or Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, but he will be exactly where you want him to be. He's one of the best route runners in this class. He's big for a slot receiver, but he can play outside. So he's going to check every single box and feel like the culture changer that you want in this new regime. Check, done and done. Mm-hmm. And Nazaraku, as you point out, a little undersized, but he plays much bigger than his 245-ish or whatever he played at last year at BC. But incredibly twitchy off the edge. And the concern I had with him earlier in the fall is like he didn't play the run that well. But he got better against the run as the season went on. And, you know, you talk to people and sometimes they say you just have to make it clear to some of these edge rushers that run support is also part of the job description. And once they buy into that or you get them to buy into that, then you see sort of what the evolution that Ezeraku had over the course of the season. Both those picks would feel like home run picks and things that you could work with from day one in terms of making that football team better.
So, Ryan, Commanders fans right now, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Like, they want to see who gets picked at 29, but because of all the moves that Peters has made to go get Debo and Tunsil and Lattimore, he's parted with a lot of draft capital. Like, is it a foregone conclusion that they move off of 29 back to the mid-30s or 40 to get some of those extra picks, or do they do that with their second-round pick where they sit at 61 at this point? What's your best guess there?
Yeah, so the good news is if you're looking for an edge rusher, even defensive line help, this class is the deepest that I can remember, and it's probably 15, 20 years maybe. You have to go back to find a class like this. So you can come off that 29 pick and move down. You can move down 10 spots if the board is still looking like you want it to look and you have enough players to choose from in the position you're interested in if it's on defense, edge or defensive line in particular. And the same for when you pick in the 60s. There could be an opportunity to get a day three guy a little earlier on defense just because those guys have gotten pushed down. Now, if you want a wide receiver, that's going to dry up pretty quickly. So at 29, if you feel like you have to take a Mecca Ibuka, for example, because he's there, then you're probably going to have to take him there because he's certainly not going to be there at 60. And then do you want to trade up and try to figure it out? And you probably don't want to have to part ways with more draft capital. So defense, if you're looking for those guys, trade down until your heart's content and stockpile some of those picks that you lost. If you're looking for offense, or my guy Gray Zabel at 29, you're probably going to have to take him there.
Just kind of looking at the seven-round mock draft you did for each team, where Chris Trapasso, your colleague, did every pick based on how many picks the Commanders currently have. And you went corner in the first round, the kid Harrison out of Kentucky, and then you went Kyle Kennard, who's an edge out of South Carolina in the second round at the 61st pick. Kind of talk about, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went after a defensive back in the first round, if they stayed in the first round. But just talk about, you know, those two players that you like and the needs that you kind of envision for the Commanders' defense.
Yeah, Harrison's an interesting guy. He was injured for much of last year with a shoulder injury that I think that's not something teams are concerned about long term. I can put it that way. A little undersized, but he ran sub-4.3 at the combine, and he has ball skills. He plays the edge. He reminds me a little bit of Devin Witherspoon. He's not going to go top five, but that type of mentality and approach, and he can play. He played mostly outside of Kentucky, but he can play in the slot as well. And just that sort of, you know, you have to be careful, and I know it's recency bias with the whole Manny Forbes thing not working out because he was undersized. This is not that. This is a different type player, and he weighs more than 166, if that makes you feel any better. Mm-hmm. In terms of Kyle Kennard in the 60s there, that South Carolina team was filled with guys on defense who were going to get drafted pretty high, and he was a juiced-up defensive lineman who brought it off the edge consistently. We were talking about him back in September, October, with the way he was playing, and before he was really on a lot of folks' radar. Some folks had pointed him out to us and went and watched him. So this kid is all business. And that's how he played the entire season. And again, sort of a situational pass rusher to start. And then you grow him into the role that whatever you envision him being in years two and year three. But I think, you know, you can put him out there on day one and he's going to create pressure on third downs.
Joined by Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer on the Rude Guest Hotline. So Ryan, is it sound financially to drain my 401k and put it all on the Raiders picking Ashton Jeanty at number 6? Because every mock I've seen for 2 or 3 weeks has him going there. Yours today, or from yesterday, has Genty going six. Is this like the biggest lock in the top 10 that Genty goes to number six to the Raiders?
I'm hesitating and sighing because Thursday will be what I think teams are actually going to end up doing. There's going to be a conversation, from what I understand, in Jacksonville about taking Ashton Genty, and they pick five. So that would be the hiccup in that plan. So do not put your 401k on that, on the Raiders.
Duly noted. Yeah,
just call your broker.
Okay.
Right. Tell now.
Put a stop on that immediately.
Because that's a concern.
You and Josh Edwards did the 7-round mock for the Raiders. You have them taking Tet McMillan, the receiver out of Arizona, and passing on Genty.
And that's another concern, not for the Raiders, but for Jacksonville. They could be interested in Tet McMillan as well. But you're right. If Genty's there, it feels like as close as to a layup as you're going to get for the Raiders, even though they have a ton of needs on defense. Genty's special. But I think that the hiccup could be the Jacksonville Jaguars at five. Mason Graham has been sort of the popular selection. I think he's going to slip a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the defensive line class, as I mentioned, so deep. And, you know, if you like Genty and you're trying to help Trevor Lawrence, I think you should take him. Liam Cohen's an offensive guy, so on and so forth. So that's the only concern I have. I would say there's like a 27% chance the Jaguars take Genty there, but I think that's enough to keep you from betting your entire 401k on the idea of him going with the very next pick.
So, Ryan, you have Shedeur Sanders from Colorado going 21 to the Steelers. And the blurb you wrote makes sense. It's an offense there in Pittsburgh that leans on the run game and doesn't have to ask a lot of its quarterback. So I guess that looks like a logical fit for Sanders as he goes down the draft board.
Yeah, and some folks say, well, Kellen Moore in New Orleans would be a better fit. I don't disagree with that. You play indoors as well. But we talk about Shedeur's arm strength compared to Cam, how it's not quite the same, and that's true. But Arthur Smith likes to run the ball, and I think that helps any quarterback, young or old, and that's something that Shedeur did not have in 2 years of Colorado. The run game was non-existent. They didn't have a tight end, essentially, in Colorado. We'll have that wherever he ends up. And I think Mike Tomlin, probably more than most coaches, can handle any personalities that come into that locker room, good or bad, and that's one less thing you have to worry about. I mean, it could be a situation where we're talking about Shedeur Sanders and Aaron Rodgers sitting next to each other every day for a year, and that's something else you have to sort of figure out. But I think he gets past nine in part because I've heard the Saints like him, Shedeur, but they don't love him. But the other issue is Ryan Ramczyk just retired. Trevor Penning hasn't worked out. They desperately need to fix that offensive line. So I would feel more certain about a player like Kelvin Banks, the Texas tackle, for example, going at nine, as opposed to Shedeur, who, if he gets past nine, between 10 and 20, there's not a team that needs a quarterback. So unless someone trades up from the top of the second, it feels like the Steelers is where his next opportunity to hear his name called will come.
What non-Cam Ward Sanders quarterback do you like? Is there a one that you think could slip into the back end of the first round?
Okay, so those are two different questions for me. I like Tom McCord a lot. I would take him on day two. He's not going to go in the first round. I don't think Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck are first round picks, but we'll see what happens. Uh-huh. And a lot of teams that need quarterbacks pick at the top of the second, so we'll see if they feel like they need to move back up, whether it's the Giants or the Browns, the Jets on some level, pick 40 is the Saints, I believe, whether those teams move up or stay put. I think Jackson Dart's a second round pick. I think Tyler Shuck, I think he's, if you're, frankly speaking, I think he's a day three guy. He's 26. He's played 7 years. He started 1 year. He's been injured a lot. I understand that he looks the part.
He looks the part, man. He really does.
I would take Will Howard over him in round three, for example, if you're pressing me on that. But, you know, again, when you get to that point in the draft, those quarterbacks, the first-round quarterbacks hit 45% of the time, whatever. Once you get past that, it's, what, 12%. So you're just throwing darts and hoping against hope. All that said, I'll set the over-under at 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round. I don't know how certain I feel like Jackson Dart getting in there, or a quarterback three, let's tell Shuck. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not making any of the picks.
Ryan, what first-round pick or like top of the first round, 15 to 20 pick, is going to get their GM potentially fired in the next 3 to 4 years? Like, it's just going to – yeah, a volatile type pick.
Yeah, James Pierce, on the field, he's a top 10 talent off the field. I know he's off some team's boards. He's made some 30 visits, but those 30 visits have been just to see who he is as a person. And I don't know the details of what happened off the field, but I just keep hearing it's not great.
Yeah, one of his former teammates, I can't remember the name of it, but he said Pierce is basically a psycho.
Yeah.
He's basically psychotic.
So that's great if you're talking solely football.
Right.
And once the whistle blows, you're back to being like everyone else, but it's not great otherwise.
Right.
So there, he has a really good chance of getting drafted. He has a really good chance of getting drafted in the middle of the first round. And then that question becomes, how is it sustainable? And the other thing you have to think about is like, okay, well, this team can handle it, quotations mark. But you're putting a lot of resources into that team having to not do football stuff and concern themselves with keeping this person on the straight and narrow. And that, you know, that sucks energy away from the football stuff we're talking about. So I think he is probably at the top of the list because football-wise, he's special, but the other stuff is going to be a real problem.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Do you have any players that other people are ranking higher than you, you just don't get? You shake your head at. You're like, I don't get why this guy is coming in as a first-round pick.
We talked about Tyler Shuck. That one gives me pause just because it feels like Brandon Weeden 2.0 without the baseball background to fall on. The other one, and this guy isn't a first-round pick, and he's a good player, but I don't like him nearly as much as other folks do, and that's the wide receiver out of Iowa State, Jaden Higgins. He's 6'4", a long strider. He ran well at the combine, but he doesn't play that fast, and folks are talking him up into the second round. He very well could go in the second round. I just didn't see enough in terms of consistently separating against – I think Big 12 is where Iowa State is not. I can't keep up anymore. He's not separating against those defensive backs, so that gives me pause when you're talking about playing against real dudes every single Sunday in the NFL. Good player, though. It's just I'm not quite as high on him as some other guys. He's not in the same conversation as Tet McMillan, for example, who, as someone once told me, you hate the guys at this point until you draft them, and then you love them all. So we're at the point where we have to talk about why we don't like these guys, and then 2 days from now, we'll all be falling in love once again.
But it's pretty much a lock that Ward goes 1-1, correct?
That's something you can bet your 401k one with the 10 million to 1 odds. That's,
right.
You'll make $25 on that.
Right.
If you had the first pick, would you take Ward?
Yes, if I'm Tennessee, absolutely. Because Brian Callahan, he arrived when Will Levis was already there, and we saw just all of us together watching Sundays how angry he got at Will Levis with some of the decisions he made. That's not sustainable. You don't have to be an insider to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Ward, I was at that pro day a month ago, whenever it was. I couldn't believe how good his arm was in person. I knew it was good. It's every bit as good as Will Levis's and Anthony Richardson's. I was at those pro days a couple years ago with the added benefit of playing a ton of football in his career. And he's not just so tense and stiff like when you watch Will Levis throw a football. It's very fluid, and you feel like he can do a lot of things. He has to dial in on the hero ball that he was playing. But we had the same conversations about Caleb and Jaden Daniels a year ago, and Jaden did it better than Caleb, but Caleb finally got there, and that's going to be the big task for Brian Callahan.
Ryan, thanks as always. We know you have to pump out a bunch more mock drafts before Thursday, so we will let you go, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, right, thank you,
thanks,
pal.
Thanks as always, Ryan Wilson, well, CBS Sports NFL writer.
Let's just hope they don't draft a guard with that first pick.
I mean,
that
if they step to the podium.
It might even be smart, but it would just be depressing.
If they draft a big 6'6" guy with an 80s porn mustache, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm not going to be
happy.
Well,
if they draft that guy over like one of those stud receivers or like Zeraku or whatever, I'm going to be distraught.
Yep.
The overwhelming favorite position based on the Vegas odds, the Commanders drafting in the first round is edge, yeah.
Everyone says edge rusher.
Yeah. But offensive lineman is second. Now, it doesn't say
but if one
guard
of those
versus
receivers,
tackle.
One of those like highly ranked receivers drops down, they might say, you know what, I can still get an edge rusher with my next pick.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yep, depends on...
That would be the
Adam
sexiest.
Peter's board.
I think the sexiest pick for the fan base would be a receiver.
Definitely. All right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next on The Fan.